so that in his own way he can equip us for the assignment he has given us. So God bless you. I want to just straight away go into the word. I presume that this wouldn't be a very lengthy session. So I presume. Okay, so by God's grace, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about discovering the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We've been talking about the linkage between the kingdom of God. I'm talking to uncle. I'm talking to people. Please, go inside. Quickly. All right, sit down. Sorry, family. this little girl is here. she decided to invade the meeting this evening. Say bye-bye and go.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so go. Go. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Please. All right, it's okay. Sorry about that. So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, discovering Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And we said that the kingdom of God is intricately linked to Christ himself, that every kingdom has a king. Now, we've gone through this series to this point where I started discussing with you the linkage between our salvation and God's eternal salvation or plan for salvation, God's eternal plan for salvation. We've also looked at a clear comparison between the kingdom and the world system. Now, I believe these things are awakening certain spiritual realities in your life. It was on the basis of looking at the systems of the world as against the systems of the kingdom, which I would say from where I sit, we just did a brush up. We didn't go into detail in terms of taking each particular area and discuss each particular area. But it is all, like I said, an introductory part of this whole discussion on the School of the Kingdom. And to get you teased up, stir up a hunger and a passion in you to begin to look at the Word of God afresh. Jesus Christ never preached anything other than the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ never discussed anything other than the kingdom. Number two, Jesus Christ did not come to establish a church as we know it, but he came with a kingdom. And that was very clear in our discourse last week. That was very, very clear in our discussion last week. Today, I want to just go ahead and look at the issue again concerning Christ's purpose, the purpose for which he came, and the charge he left with you and I for his apostles, his prophets, for the body of Christ, and what we ought to be doing. So the point is that it is possible to be churchy. It is possible to belong to church and never fully discover the kingdom of God. It is possible to be blinded by denomination and never discover the kingdom of God. It is possible to be born again, and particularly with the way our system is. If I say our system, I make a reference to the system of the world, religious systems of religious Christianity, how things have been configured around us, so that if somebody become born again, what the person is introduced to oftentimes is not a kingdom. Very often we are introduced to the system of religion or Christianity or denomination or the brand that we follow. But when Jesus Christ came, there was absolutely one brand that he trumpeted, and it was the kingdom. Now, this should just inform your reading. If you go into the Bible particularly, and you begin to look at the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you start reading through it, you would see that Jesus Christ spoke about 100% of the kingdom. And every activity he carried out, the manifestation of the power of God, the manifestation of healing, graces, the divine abilities and the gifts of the Spirit that manifested, were all an extrusion. They came out of the demonstration of the kingdom of God. He instructed his, and we'll come to that scripture soon. He instructed, as one of the major charges he left with his apostles, to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And when they do, they should heal the sick. That the extrusion of healing, even Christ himself said it, that if I cast out demons and I heal the sick, then the kingdom of God is among you. It's like this, these healings heralded, announced the coming, the arrival of the kingdom of God. So let me just put in a very brief definition this evening. What is the kingdom of God to you and I? How are we supposed to be configured in our walk with God? And the point is that the kingdom of God is one coherent, dynamic state of existence of life. I will explain. The kingdom of God is one dynamic, coherent state of existence of life that does not inform a duplistic life. The kingdom of God is one coherent, dynamic state of life. One coherent, dynamic state of life that does not inform duplistic living. Duplistic living is, I have one standard by which when I am home, I have another standard by which I live by when I am out there. Duplistic living is that I have one standard by which I drive business and another standard by which I drive my life at home. Duplistic business, duplistic lifestyle is that I have one particular standard different from that I apply when I am in school or when I am in church service, different from the lifestyle I apply when I am home. The kingdom of God is one coherent state of existence of life. And that state of existence of life, which does not inform duplistic living, what it means is that whatever I am at home is whatever I will represent wherever I am. Whatever I am in private is whatever it is that I will represent wherever I am public. Whatever it is that I live by in principle in the office must be the same principle and must be true of me when I'm home, when I'm in church service, church meeting, when I'm interacting with friends, whether I'm online or anywhere I find myself, so that we do not play a double standard. The kingdom of God is one rule, one state, very coherent. It is not desperate. It's not broken, sprinted, scattered, strewn everywhere, thrown apart everywhere. No. The kingdom of God is one lifestyle in principle wherever you find yourself, whether you are in the middle of the sea, whether you are in a boat on the ocean, whether you are on an island, whether you are in the best plush apartment, wherever you find yourself, the kingdom of God does not inform a duplistic lifestyle. And I'll come back to make one more comment about a duplistic life. Now, that kingdom, that state of coherent existence, dynamic, remember, dynamic state of coherent of existence of life, is the rule of God that extends to and is exerted over all spheres of human life. Is this the rule of God and the mighty power of God that extends over every sphere of the existence of man? So name it politics, name it business, name it education, name it church world, Christianity, whatever it is, this rule of God extends everywhere, everywhere, over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything. And this principle, these principles I'm stating, it's important that we embrace it so that we can apply ourselves properly in terms of our absolute exercising our functionality in our absolute assignment and our sphere of calling. Because oftentimes we define life in a manner that says that, okay, so this life belongs to this other side, so I can apply their principles. And when I come to this side, I apply the principles of the kingdom. And we are glad to quote the scripture about give to Caesar and all. There is a context in which Jesus spoke about give to Caesar. But the kingdom of God is the rule of God, no matter whoever, whatever precedent, whatever law, whatever standard it is. The kingdom of God is true, is truth, is mercy, is justice, is righteousness. It doesn't matter wherever. So life in the kingdom, like we said, is not duplistic. So the kingdom, therefore, is not something you pick up Sunday morning. You and I would pick up Sunday morning when we have a church service, and we drop it, and then we continue our own life, our own lifestyle, on Monday through Friday, Saturday, and we pick it up. No, this is important for even the marketplace believer and for existence inside this world, since the world is governed by different principles in different aspects of life, in terms of what policy people run environments with, so that you as a believer will stand strong in your kingdom mandate and purpose and exercise full functionality wherever you find yourself. So it is not something you pick up on Sunday morning, you drop Sunday evening and continue with your own on Monday through Friday. The kingdom of God is with you through your hustle on Monday, through the assaults that comes upon you on Monday when you drag yourself and almost don't want to step out to go to work. It's such a drab and a drag for people Monday morning. The kingdom is with you. The kingdom of God is with you through your Tuesday. It is with you through your frustrations on Wednesday. The kingdom of God is indeed bounded with you through all the manipulations on Thursday and all the assaults that comes upon you on Friday that makes you want to exit the world system quickly and rest on Saturday. The kingdom of God is even with you on your Saturday, even if is the day of Satan, even if it is Satan that is ruling, the kingdom of God is with you regardless. So the duplistic lifestyle, we must drop it. If we are going to, I have a subject there, manifesting the kingdom. It's one of the notes that I prepared to be taught in a conference outside the country before the COVID broke, when I was supposed to be traveling outside the country before COVID broke. But in that note, you would understand that these principles are so important to our delivery in manifesting the kingdom. In manifesting the kingdom. So up until this point, I trust that you have made some comparisons to your own self and how you operate and how you run your life. It's very, very important. And I want to encourage everybody, before I go further, I want to encourage everybody to take these moments very seriously. These moments that we come to discuss the Word of God very seriously. Just this evening, I had a friend. Take it inside. I had a friend who contacted me outside the country, and he wants to go. He's starting an online program, and he's booked me for the first episode, and he wants to take your Fridays. And I said, no. Pastor Ray has secured the Fridays already, so shift it, put it to another date. And I will be discussing on Instagram with him issues pertaining the manifestation of the kingdom of God inside these days of upheavals and all. So take this moment seriously, because this could just be somebody's opportunity to get activated to begin to function. And I have personally discovered in my ministry functionality that anytime I'm ministering, I'm talking, even casually, I've discovered that there are angelic manifestations that send out impartations and activations and miracles. And sometimes by the time I am done, the environment is full of testimony. So please take this moment seriously and attack it with readiness. Attack it with attitude, proper attitude. So the point is that if this is just one or two of the nature of the kingdom of God as we describe it, it's not duplistic. It exerts extended over every sphere of life, every sphere of life. Then we who are born again and given a promise of the kingdom and are supposed to function in the kingdom ought to begin to embrace a new kind of understanding. And so when Jesus Christ was leaving, this comment I've made it before and I'm making it to build a point now. When Jesus Christ was leaving, he did not entrust the world into the hands of politicians, of unbelievers, of the Freemasons all over the world. If you look at one of the crops of people who controlled, for example, the corporate world, you will find the Freemasons, the Satanists, and the occultists as being chief. Why? Because the believer's mind has been prepared that when you become born again, the plan of God for you is that you go to heaven. So we are heavily relevant, earthly bankrupt. But that is a deception, because every single functionality, you will see this in one of the scriptures I'll read. Every single functionality of man here echoes in eternity. You can put this in your notes, that whatever you do on this earth builds up a monument and echoes in eternity. There was a man called Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 12. His giving of alms, his devotion and prayers to God every time, the Bible says that has become a monument that stood before God. And he wasn't born again. And this thing provoked God so much that God sent an angel to a heathen, an unbeliever, to send. And this unbeliever had very accurate discernment and prophetic, giving names and address and everything and location of Peter. An unbeliever, his giving and his prayer and his devotion provoke the powers in the realm of God such that he received a manifestation of God and sent and then had an encounter and became born again and received the gift of the Spirit. So this is important for us, that if the kingdom was not entrusted into the hands of politicians, the Freemasons, name it, you can apply it more and more and more and more. The kingdom was entrusted into the hands of the servants of God. That is why the Bible says that if any man become born again, the first thing that you will see is the kingdom. And more also when we come to the prophetic functionality, seeing is elementary. The restoration of spiritual sight is broader than just having prophetic visions. Prophetic vision is limited. Prophetic sight, spiritual sight is broader than just prophetic vision. And the Bible says that when we become born again, one of the foremost things that we experience is that we begin to see And I want to start from that. We begin to see, we begin to gain sight. And specifically, in gaining of sight, being prophetic sight, being our worldview shifting, our culture, we are being exposed to a new reality, and that reality is the kingdom. But unfortunately, when many of us became born again, we did not see the kingdom the way we ought to see it. We're supposed to have been introduced to the fullness of the kingdom, the power, the glory, the righteousness, the truth, the mercy, and all of that which characterized the kingdom of God being brought to us, or we being brought into which we never saw. When Jesus Christ was living, he told his disciples to take charge. He told his apostles to take charge. He told his prophets to take charge. The kingdom believer are the people who are supposed to be in charge of this world. But we are played infidel. We have thrown it into the hands of the devil. We have thrown it into the hands of the unbelievers. The unbelievers have the cash, but we beg for it. The unbelievers have the cash, but we beg for it. The unbelievers have taken over, but we beg for it. Opportunities are left for unbelievers, and believers are, we are constantly in church, and we are just speaking in tongues. I think it was on this broadcast. I think it was on this broadcast, or maybe in, I don't know where I said this. But over the past 500 years or so, church has always had about two or three solutions to life's problem. Number one, let us pray. Number two, let's leave here. Let's escape from here. We have embraced an escapist mentality, which has affected the way we ought to function as the people of God. Now is our heritage restored to us, that the kingdom of God is being revealed and unveiled, and we are losing the sense of religion and coming fully into the power of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19, the verse 13. Luke chapter 19, the verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 19, the verse 13 and 14. This is another scripture probably you have never seen in the Bible, but it is there. Or maybe you have seen it, but I may mention it in a different context for you now. So Jesus Christ, you know the story already, called 10 of his servants. So he then called 10 of his servants, delivered to Jesus was given a parable about a man, a nobleman of birth, which is referring to himself. And it says that this nobleman of birth, he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Do business till I come. Do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. There are some things you need to take note in these verses we just read. You can just see that the citizens over whom this nobleman of birth delivered 10 minas. Minas is like silver money. I think statistics says that one mina is about $5,000 or so. So he delivered 10 minas, $5,000, if that is correct, equivalent to into the hands of 10 of his servants each. And that is symbolic of the salvation experience you and I have come into. That God have delivered something of eternal opportunity, a thing of eternal weight of glory into us, such that if today, without a Bible verse given to you, you are thrown into an environment where there is no Bible, you should be able to function, because he gave them something that was not written on paper. Let me say something that would startle you a bit. God never intended man to be governed from the outside. Laws written on from the outside to govern man. God intended that man would be ruled and governed from within. So he spoke to Adam and Eve. He blessed them, he commanded them, he decreed and spoke into all the environment, spoke into the earth to embrace Adam and support him and whisper their name and give them all the necessary opportunity they require to be able to function. When he came to the children of Israel, because of disobedience, he gave them a tablet. But the intent was that man must not be governed. The very first laws of God were not written on paper, on tablets or stone or anything, but was coded into the orbit, the spiritual orbit, the psychic, the mind and the heart and the spirit of man. So the tablets therefore does represent our hearts. So you read the book of Hebrews, it says that he will write a new covenant, inscribe it upon our hearts, that we will all know him and that nobody needs to instruct us to know the Lord. Look, where church is going, where God is carrying his activity, he is requiring that you and I are governed from within. And the government of God is the kingdom of God, 10 minas each, $5,000 each given to each servant, a thing of eternal weight, a thing of divine origin, that are settled in the hearts of men, and that goes on to begin to find expression and then goes further to begin to exert influence and impact over every aspect of life. That born again experience, which we describe as salvation, which we'll come back to discuss even the details much more if we go into kingdom school, it's not a thing to be toyed with. It's a thing precious of weighty that God did not even look at his own comfort and the comfort of his son. He slayed him on the cross so that you and I can embrace this life and walk back in our original state of eternal life. Imagine Adam created in the very first instance, that without going to school, he can hear God and understand God. That is that level of sublimity of God, a thing of original existence of God that has settled inside you and I. 10 minas given to 10 servants each. So you sitting there, you have this thing that is all of God, all of who God will ever be. Remember, Jesus Christ is not planted in you partially, half. Do you know that there is no adult spirit and child spirit? Do you know that the Bible does not come in adult volume and children volume? We created adult volume and children volume. Do you know that the Spirit of God does not come in adult volume and children volume? When God created you and I in that first, that is why Apostle Paul, I'm throwing so many things at you simply because I want to stir you up. I want to stir your understanding with just that single statement, delivered 10 minas to them. Apostle Paul said that I will be found in him. Philippians chapter 3. That I will be found in him. I count all things as dung, nothing. I count them as loss for the surpassing knowledge of Christ. That I will be found in him. That in him, when God breathed, we became. I will come into that subject also much later. When we begin to discuss the breath of God, the life of God. How God created Adam in its original state is what Jesus is describing as 10 minas entrusted into the hands of men. It is the whole kingdom of God from beginning till the end. It is nothing left out. It is all of who God will is and will ever be entrusted into you in one volume, in one instance. If even if you became born again 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, yesterday, the Bible says that the little one is greater than even the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. So Jesus delivered this thing of divine origin, divine nature and power and glory into you and I. And we want to call it the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God belongs to the believer, belongs to the person who has embraced Jesus Christ. And when he gave this thing to these men, he never gave them a Bible. He never gave them a Bible verse. He never gave them quotes. He never gave them 10 steps to succeed. He never gave Adam 20 steps to that. He simply gave an instruction, and that instruction was coded and is the life that you have. And that life you have, my dear, is able to drive you through every life circumstance. It is where you are supposed to be drawing strength from, not on the facade, the deception, the wind, the things that surround you. Now, you see, this is the thing that makes somebody a man of God, a woman of God. If we say somebody is a man of God, it is somebody that God's name is upon and God is with. And it is somebody that God dwells in and expresses himself outward in impacting and influencing every aspect of man. And God said that I have given you all that I am. I am at your disposal. I cannot take that away from you in your single born again experience. Therefore, do business till I come. Now, do business till I come. The word till means that it is time bound, that there is going to be a time that he will return. The word till means that you and I will not be living forever. Even if you become 200 years, you will die. There's one thing that is assured, and that is constant, and that is that man will die. So if we begin to live by this consciousness that till is time bound, that I have a certain time over my life to live, then we begin to live relevantly. We begin to live significantly. We begin to live for impact other than for ourselves or than play around. We live for God's ultimate end. Knowing that, remember that statement we said earlier. We said, whatever you do over here echoes in eternity. That life over here has its corresponding impact on eternity. Everything we do here and the reward that we receive on the other end is bound to life here. So see, it says that, but the citizens hated him. I'll come back to do business till I come. His citizens hated the man of noble birth and sent a delegation and said, no, you not reign over us. Now, look at this verse carefully and look at the statement there. So after this, I'm going to read the New King James. I'll read the Old King James, and then I will read the Message translation of the same verses. Look at what it says here. It says that the citizens sent a delegation and said, man, you are not going to reign over us. We will not allow you to reign over us. What is it about your born again and rulership? What is it about 10 minas? What is it about $5,000 equivalent? What is it about the whole life of God planted inside man that is pointing to kingdom rulership? What is it that I am born again and suddenly the systems of the world are agitating and said, your Christ will not govern us and rule over us. We are not going to allow his laws to influence our business world, our politics, our medicine, our family life, our lifestyle and everything, every aspect of our life. It says, they sent a delegation and said, we will not have this man, not these men. We will not have this man, which is the man who gave the talents to his servant. We will not allow this man to rule over us. Meaning that in seeing his servants who are in billions all over the earth today, They consider it as the extension of his government and rulership over every aspect of man, and they are revolting and they are agitating. Psalm 2 says something very interesting about such scenario in the earth, and that thing continues to play out and will continue to play out, which will lead to the rulership and the kingdom power of God striking the earth. And I read Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations rage? Why and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cord from us. He who sits in heaven, in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and in distress, and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set now. So it says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill. Yet in the midst of all the revolts of powers, demonic powers that are saying, we will not allow Jesus Christ and all his men and women he has talented, $5,000 each, life eternal, the life of God, all that God is and will ever be, a thing of divine origin, having settled in the heart of men, and we go to the same market, we go through the same frustration, we go through the same perplexity, we as the taps are shut all over the place, like in where I live now, we all go through the same thing. And these men, listen to Psalm 2 again. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, they come together, they take counsel together. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The word anointed is the word Messiah. Is that word translated in the New Testament as Christ? Is the word Christos. Is the same that word Christos also means the Messiah. The word Christos also means the anointed one with his anointing. With his anointings and his people following. So this people are looking at that born again experience you had and says, look, we are never going to allow Christ to rule over us. As a result, we are not going to allow you to enter into your full potential, your full grace, and the expression of that aspect of God. Another important thing I want to say is that every single human being is an expression of an aspect of God. Every single human being is an expression of an aspect of God. That is why the human being is the most attacked person, the attacked entity all over the earth. It is not the systems of politics. It's the human beings that are attacked and bruised that goes in to make it an attacked system, a defeated system, of which God is saying that my instruction to you is to occupy till I come. Let's read further and I give you some more comment. The Message translation. It says, the verse 12 of Luke chapter 19, there was a man descended from a royal house who needed to make a long trip back to headquarters, heaven. Jesus is in heaven right now, to get authorization for his rule and then return. But first, he called 10 servants together, gave them each a sum of money, gave them each eternal life, and instructed them, operate with this till I return. Come on. If God, through his son, has given us and said, look, on this side, the only way, this is the point, the only way you can live on this side is to receive the money that Christ is giving. And that money is eternal life. And it says, operate with this till I come. I'm not adding anything. I'm not taking anything out of it. This thing is powerful. That is why I made my comment. I think the very first time I started this broadcast with you is that there is a need to go back and re-examine the born-again experience. What does it mean? Last week, I told you about how expansive it is, the bandwidth of our born-again experience. You cannot take this thing lightly. You cannot take it cheap. You must begin to place value on it. He says, operate with this till I come. The other translation, the New King James says that, do business till I come. The verse 14, it says that the citizens there hated him. They hated the man who gave the talents. So they sent a commission with a signed petition to oppose his rule, to oppose the kingdom. So look, the conflict, there are just two conflicts going on in the earth today. It is not NDC, NPP. It is not PNC, MPP. It is not Donald Trump versus China. It is not Trump versus Biden or whoever it is. It is not Putin versus the other side. It is not Germany against somebody. The conflict that is going on is a conflict between light and darkness. The conflict that is going on, it is a clash of kingdoms. So Jesus clearly spelled it. I said, when you pray, this is the way you ought to pray. Even look at the Lord's Prayer and how it informs and how our provision is received. It says that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise, we lift you, we exalt you, we honor you. And there was no music there. That approach to God, there was no music there. There was no any religious behavior there to reach to God. And it says that your kingdom come. The very first thing that you and I ought to be seeking is the kingdom. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very interesting. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The clash is between kingdoms. That is what you see in Psalm 2. So if you read Psalm 2 even furthermore, and I come back. If you read Psalm 2 even furthermore, it says that as they were plotting and taking decisions and trying to conflict and counteract and the satanic systems of darkness coming against all these beautiful things of God, the Bible says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And that is another thing to be examined. What is this holy hill called Zion? If we discover it, it changes our thing we call church experience. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, rulership. So you can see that this whole discourse here, if you are a business person being sent into business, you must begin to understand the principle of rulership, kingdom. If you are a student going to school, you must begin to understand the principle of kingdom. Not the principle of kingdom. You must understand that it is the rule of God exerted over every aspect of life. You are being sent there as an ambassador. Like the British came here to colonize us and taught us how to eat. Till now, some of us still struggle from that, and we dress like the British. If we do not dress like them, we do not feel okay. Some people have even gotten to the point where they've hated their own culture. God have sent you, student, as a pastor. The operation of a church and its activity must be understood from the context of the kingdom. And grace and life live in the kingdom is from the place of not leadership, but a place of sonship. He said, this day I would declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. We come back into grace to live in the kingdom, and we discuss all the principles involved. So it doesn't start with even leaders, but it starts simply with being born again and becoming a son. It says, operate with this till I come. But the citizens oppose his rule. We don't want this man to rule over us. We don't want the kingdom of God over us. That is why we are always in conflict. That is why we are always fighting. That is why we are always battling. Because as you step into the environment of business, the point is that the enemy sees every activity of yours simply coming from the background of born again. The enemy may never know that you know or not, but he understands that from where you are coming to exert rulership, power, and kingdom. That is why when you got that job, suddenly you are hated and you never understand why there is fault found with every single thing you do. Because you are light that is shining in darkness and there is conflict. That is why we ought to understand our place of functionality. Look at the old King James Version, what it says. The verse 13 through 14. And he gave to his servants, ten of his servants, and delivered to them 10 pounds. 10 pounds. And said to them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. I don't know how you understand that word, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Occupy till I come means engage, trade, do business, get involved, take charge, be in control, bring the culture, the knowledge, the wisdom, the strategies of the Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring that thing into that environment. Occupy till I come means occupy till I come. Occupy till I come means stand in that space and feel it and grow. Like I described to you about the stone that was cut out with their hands in Daniel chapter 2. Begin to grow and feel the environment. The kingdom of God does not know recession. Begin to expand and fill up. Occupy till I come. So, man cannot occupy, rule or reign, take charge in the affairs of this world unless he or she first submit to the king and his rulership authority. He gave 10 minas to them. Man cannot occupy, rule, or reign in the affairs of this world. Man will continue to be defeated, born again, but defeated, broken, desperate, scattered everywhere, until you have come into full capacity of the kingdom, until you have decided to lose your Ghanaianness and to embrace, I am a citizen of the kingdom, and I am just in Ghana as a portal to express this kingdom and bring the rule of my Father. If I go into a relationship, whether marriage, business, partnership, I must know that I am the superior one. I had a testimony. I think it was one of the men of God in this country that shared it. He said one of his sons went to Dubai to have a meeting with some Arabs. When they were in the conference room, these Arabs, the two of them, started reading their tesbah or tesbih or something they call it. Tesbih, I guess. So they started reading it, and they were just, they told the gentleman, wait, we will soon be with you. They were reading the thing, you know, they keep counting. After about 30 minutes to an hour or so, when they were done, so now we can sign the contract. And the gentleman said, was telling the man of God, he said, look, I was surprised. They spent time reading this thing. When they were done, they said we should sign a contract. Do you know what they were doing? They were checking to see if this man we are coming to sign a contract with, if his star will shine and we can prosper working with him. This believer should have taken charge long ago before sitting in there. So you must know that rulership authority is connected to everything we do on this earth. Even if you are buying something across the counter, rulership authority is connected to it. Even if somebody is making you an offer, proposing to you, rulership authority is connected to it. You must consider it. Am I going to cede my rulership authority by going into this relationship? Am I going to lose my identity and everything? Our life is so wired and connected to rulership authority. And that will take you back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. In chapter 1, the verse 26, the Lord God told man, he says, have dominion, subdue the earth, take charge, submit the earth to you. Rulership authority is connected to everything we do. And that must inform your activity as a born-again believer. Let me just proceed further and try to wrap up on a couple of things. So man cannot occupy, rule, reign in the affairs of the world until he or she can first submit to the king and his rulership authority, the kingdom. So when Jesus was leaving, we said, he said, occupy till I come, rule till I come, do business till I come, interact and engage the system till I come. Look at this scripture, further charge. Mark chapter 16, like my own name, Mark chapter 16, the verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world means go into all the world. Now, if you've been part of these classes, you would appreciate that we define what the world is. And God, through Jesus Christ, told us, he says, go into all the world, every sphere of humanity. You did not become born again simply to enjoy a blessing and walk away. You did not belong to Living Streams International, Latibi Okoshi branch, or wherever, whatever branch you are watching from, or you are participating from, simply because it's a portal by which you get blessed. And some crazy false prophet have said that if your church is not changing, you change your church. You never understand the purpose for which you are born again and why you go to church. The church is not a place to come and receive some blessing and walk away. The church is a place of holy convocation to be instructed to go back into the world and create impact and for the kingdom. The church is a place where you come, you are given several minions. You are increasing grace and abilities, and you lose your blindness to gain more sight into the kingdom, where you become empowered and you go out into that world to function. And function in your accurate and rightful assignment. So man, another point I want to make, man can never function accurately in this world. In the world. Jesus said, go into all the world, unless he returns or connects to his original place, purpose, assignment, callings, gifts, in the original context, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Let me repeat again. Man cannot function accurately in this world. Therefore, Jesus says, go into all the world. Unless man returns and connects to his original place, his context of life. When God created man, he put man within a certain context, and it is called kingdom. If you do not come into the kingdom and you try to function outside the kingdom, you are going to experience the world system, which charges usury, and it will destroy you financially, a business person. You are going to experience the suffocation of the economic system. You are going to experience the suffocation of the medical system. You are going to experience the suffocation of the legal system that binds you. I shared this testimony with you people before about this lady who was in America and walked into a shop, and then several things happened, and then they had to call the police and then charge her to court and all of that. And we said, let's go to the court of heaven. I have this note, a teaching and a prayer lines that speaks about making appeal to the court of heaven. So we began to apply that, and the girl was acquitted and discharged, and a case closed. If you do not step into the kingdom and enjoy all the fullness of the kingdom and submit your life, and you still keep your life, this is my life. You know that song? That Alan Pine song several years ago, he said, it's my life, I will live it. Something like that. If you said, this is my life, I will live it, you'll be broken, you'll be destroyed, you'll be crushed, and you will be thrown into pieces by the world system. You will become an ash heap of what used to before, what that was glorious. The world will chew you up and spew you out to destruction. It will flood you and overtake you and make you a little piece of disgrace, shameful history. Look at it. If we do not submit to the kingdom, if we do not submit to Christ and his kingdom, look at what Psalm 2 says in the verse 10. It says, "Now therefore be wise, O kings." And the Bible tells us in the First Peter chapter 2, 9, that we are kingdom priests. Revelation chapter 5, the verse 10, we are kingdom of priests. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 1, the verse 6 or so, we are kingdom of priests. It says that, therefore be wise, you kings. And kings also means rulers of the world and of politics and medicine and every aspect of life. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, submit to the Son. The word kiss is to lap like a dog. Lap his hands like a dog. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. You thought you would have been following your purpose and your gift. I've discovered my calling and I'm going to function. And yet the Bible says you'll be destroyed in the way. And you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Blessed are those who submit to him. Therefore, the best place to be is this earth, is this realm of life, the world, and to function from. So I'm going to read the last scripture and I pulled the curtain on all of this conversation. Then if you have any question, you ask me and we can close. And I trust you are making some very good notes to help you. You go back to those notes. I tell you, that is the way I grew up. Anytime I go to a church meeting, a program, I use the notes as my devotion. And I've been blessed over the years. And so when you look at my functionality, sometimes you do not know where exactly I'm coming from, because I've had several men made input into my life, and some of them I cannot even trace. Some of the things I have today, I don't even know where I got them from. Some things that are buried in me, that are activated, that gives me triggers of thought, I do not know where I got them from. But what I know is that the Spirit of God, through several men that came into my world, have impacted me, and therefore I take notes on paper, but I get them inscribed through meditation on my heart. I matter, I ponder, I dream it, and I walk in them. So let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and look at the parable of Jesus Christ of the sower went to sow good seeds, and the enemy comes to sow the seeds of tares among the wheat. Matthew chapter 13, the verse 24 through 30. Matthew chapter 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven." Now remember, the kingdom of heaven, sometimes it's, in fact, I said before that in the book of Matthew, he used the term the kingdom of heaven. And there's a reason for it. And you look at Mark, Luke, John, you see that they keep talking about the kingdom of God. There's a reason for that. But the kingdom of heaven, sometimes in the translations, are used interchangeably to mean the kingdom of heaven. So, remember, we are talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and his rulership. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds." And take note, who sowed good seeds in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tares?" The verse 28, he said to them, "An enemy has done this." Take note of that. "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us to then go and gather up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat." Very beautiful. Take note of that line. While you go trying to cut off all the corrupt people
and ending the world. Oh God, don't do that. Don't do that. It says that, but what he said, no, lest you gather up the tares also and uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then the disciples went behind and said, man of God, can you explain this thing to us? What do you mean? He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is sowing a good seed, the good seed being who? He's going to explain. He who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Do you remember that word world? Governing system, systems of control, systems of humanity, systems of politics, medicine, systems of church, of governance, systems of youth, adolescents, schools, our basic living, the thing that borders on how we live, the world. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Do you see how life is lived outside from within the kingdom? It is by sonship. So it's a different broad topic to be covered. Look at the issue of sonship. The issue of sonship. I've done quite a bit of series on that, the grace of sonship on Facebook, maybe a couple of years back, and almost about 20 sessions and all. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And the question is, where were the seeds sown? The seeds were sown in the world. And what is the world to you? Per our definition and understanding from Bible, we said the world is governance system and systems of arrangement of life, various constitutions of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, various groups in the world, families, systems of control, and all. The tares were sown in the world. The good seeds of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom, were also sown into the world. And Jesus says, occupy till I come. Now remember his instruction that he gave. He says that go into the world. So where is the best place to live? Those of us who are ready to run to heaven and want to end everything and go to heaven, where is the best place to live? The best place to live is inside this world. Also, media, my breath, and I'm tired. I cannot continue this life. No, you are trying to live defeatedly. I've been disappointed by men, by women, and therefore I don't want to live relevantly. No, you are living defeatedly. I am tired. I can no longer do church again. No, you want to live defeatedly. I am tired. I cannot get involved in politics. I am afraid. As well, politics belong to the politicians. Now you are beginning to see that it is actually your place. When you read the book of Amos chapter 1, it's a very interesting passage as well. Amos chapter 1. You would notice that the law of God goes out from right from Zion. And the law is the very thing that governs life. This evening, I want to challenge you. We have to begin to embrace the kingdom in order to function in this world. We have to begin to gather courage and say, I want to go and conquer in this world for Christ. And he says that go into the world and preach. And so I'm going to end on that aspect. Go into the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And when you go into your political environment and you preach the gospel of the kingdom, do you know what happens? The Bible says certain signs shall follow. You didn't say that go into the world and preach the kingdom. Go to the people who are not born again and just preach. It says go into the world, whether they are born again or not. It says exert the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. And that word preach the kingdom is a very interesting Greek word, which means to make evident. To make evident, it means a testament, it means a testimony. To make evident, meaning that you and I must be the transformation we trumpet. You and I must be the standard that we embrace. I remember when I got my first international job, I got my expat job, my first expat job. And I was going to travel out of this country. They had to do a background check. So they were doing the background check in Ghana. And they actually sent somebody to one of the places I worked before. And they went and met a gentleman and they asked him about me. And the gentleman told them everything. So the person who did the investigation was telling me this. Later, he became my friend, so was telling me this. And he said, the gentleman said, in fact, even my boss, the CEO, told me this. He also told me, listen, when we did the investigation, we were told that even if you leave your money around, he will never take it. And when I was leaving the company, every single thing they bought for me, in fact, with the exception of the toothbrush, I went into the house they rented for me. They bought toothbrush, roll-on, everything, food, bedspread, everything from kitchen, everywhere they stocked it. Apart from the toothbrush that I use and the roll-ons that I use and some basic essential things that you get disposed of, the bed spreads that they bought for me for about 3 years, they were all still available. And my boss told me when I went to the office and I told him I'm walking away from the company in Ghana, he said that, look, it is evident that you are a good man and that there's nobody that is good, and that even the things that we bought, if it were somebody, we could have gone back and those things would have disappeared. I want to challenge you. You must be an evidence of the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Your will be done as it is in heaven means with the same power, the same design, the same architecture, the same measurement, the same nails, the same strength, the same speed, everything exactly as it is happening in heaven, right here on the earth. And this is a deep statement. Because it means that life cannot be lived haphazardly, but life can only be lived on the basis of you are born again, then you can view the kingdom. Not even view, you can see the kingdom. You can clearly see its measurement and design and everything. Go into the kingdom and preach. That word preach is to make evident. That word preach is to proclaim. To proclaim means to publish. Proclaim openly. Make something which has been done, to proclaim openly something which has been done, which means that we cannot manifest, preach, make evident just any other thing, but it must be based on design. That word means, it also suggests that it carries with it some formality, some gravity, and some authority that is you must listen to and obey. Therefore, the kingdom of God is here among us. And Jesus says, occupy till I come. We must function. Man can only live relevantly, significantly, powerfully, when we discover the kingdom of God and we live powerfully out of its resources. I don't have so much prayer topics to lead you to pray this evening, but to help you pray, just one prayer topic. And the prayer topic is simple. My kingdom must go and let his kingdom come. My will must go and let his will come. If we can ever come into that place, I promise you, we will be invaded by heaven's wealth, financial people, kingdom people wanting to see the power of God, prophetic people wanting to see visions of diverse nature. We will be invaded with certain dimensions of heaven. We will walk in certain absolute standards of heaven that will stun the leaders and the nations of the earth if we ever submit to the kingdom. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he strike the earth with a curse. God bless you and the Lord favor you. So I want us to pray. I just want us to pray, then afterwards we just interact a bit, and so you can let in your you can unmute your microphone, and let's pray in the spirit together. Let's cry to God. And I believe you are beginning to see your own areas of life that you need to bring under proper control and subjection to God. I want us to pray. Father, let my kingdom go and let your kingdom come. Let me, my church, go. Let my brand go. Let your kingdom come. I want you to pray, let my will go. Let yours come. Father, I'm beginning to hear about your kingdom. And therefore, Father, help me to embrace the revelation of the kingdom and understand it, and walk in its power. Lekodos kapraha. Motati prose.
Brakato dedede brashakata. Roda dadaba shekete dededebe. Raka dadadabos shata dadadabos kete. Laga braha kata dadabos sakata dadaba. Brakata dadadabo kata dadadaba shakata dadaba.
Come on, pray it as you mean it. Talk to the Lord.
Raga dadadabos shekete dededebe. Brakata dadadabo seke. Brakata dadadabo seke teke tedebe. Lega braka badadadabo kata dadadabosh.